I have some things for kiddos. Some color page and then some questions on the back. And I have some crayons so that you can use the color page. But I do ask that when you're done with the crayons, you put them back in the box. They're not for you to keep, and leave them in the pew. Okay? Kids? Parents? If you need a color page and you're an adult, I may have some extras. But you may have to fight for them. If not, if the children that need a page don't have one, I can go make more copies. So I'm actually really excited to see the number of young kids here today. So just let me know. It's always exciting for me to get to speak to everyone here. I get a little nervous on edge, but it's because of it's exciting. I think those that may have stood here before that aren't accustomed to usually standing in this spot and teaching a class know what I'm talking about. So to help me, I drank a lot of caffeine. Okay? It may not have been a good decision, but I did it. If we can't smile, then we're in trouble. Okay, folks? There's no better reason to smile than having access to the Word of God. Okay, and then there's no second better reason to smile than to be able to be with people that want to study the Word of God. So if you're down and you're out, you need to call one of these folks, okay, and put a smile back on your face. My mom used to tell me that even on the phone you can hear if someone's smiling. So even if you're not a happy person, smile when you answer the phone. Then we'll all be fooled. We've been going through the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. My particular individual, which I'm glad I did not get Enoch, because there's not as much written about Enoch as there is Noah. But I got Noah. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, let's start there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And this is a class, guys. I have a board so we can write things down. Okay? Not a preacher. This is not a sermon. This is a class. And so speak up if you have something to say. Raise your hand. I'll gladly stop because I tend to speak faster when nervous and full of caffeine than when I'm not. So Hebrews 11 verse 7, and it reads in the New King James, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Okay? We're not going to dive into this yet, okay? Keep this in the back of your mind as we discuss the story of Noah, all right? But to start off, heroes of faith, right? That's what some of these individuals, that's how we've come to know them, right, that are in Hebrews 11. Give me a characteristic of a hero one at a time. Anybody, children. Parents, this is a good time to speak. Yes, sir.
Thinking back to the sermon from a couple of weeks ago, obedience, in this case, obedience to God's
word. Obedience. Obedience to a higher power, right? Okay? And I'm not just speaking about a hero in the Bible. I'm saying when you think of Thor, besides superheroes, besides superpowers, what characteristics do they have? Okay? Strength. We have idolized these stories.
Strength.
Okay? I don't want superpowers.
Faith.
Faith. Okay?
Faith in what? Good, probably. Good, right? Even in earthly realm of heroes, they have faith that good will prevail, right? So
humility.
Good. I'm sorry?
Humility.
Humility. Ooh. Okay. Boldness. I'm sorry?
Boldness.
Boldness. Okay. I'm getting kind of low.
I don't talk.
I will.
Integrity.
Integrity. Okay. Selflessness.
Confidence.
I'm sorry?
Confidence.
Confidence.
Courage.
Courage. I like that one. Hey, tell me what courage is. Just real quick, anybody. Courage. Is it the absence of fear or the ability to overcome fear? Overcome fear. Okay, remember that. Just because you're courageous doesn't mean you don't have fear. This means you can overcome the fear. All right, what else? Yes, ma'am.
Kipton said something.
Kipton said something.
Yeah.
Brave? Okay, we'll put that right here next to courage. Can we think of anything else? Yes, sir.
Intelligent.
Okay. What about honest? Okay.
Discerning.
Yeah, I would throw that down here with intelligence, the ability to reason, right? Okay. I like discernment. Is that a word?
Sure.
Let's see if I've... What about the ability to inspire those around them? Persuade those around them. These are great. Do we have any more? Yes, ma'am.
Kind.
I like it.
Responsible.
Kind of out of room, but that's all right. Yes, sir.
Helpful.
Okay. Y'all keep these in the back of your mind now too, okay? As we discuss Noah. Kids, if you look at your little color sheet on the back, there's a spot to list, I think, 10 of these. Okay, so y'all write those down. Now, everyone, adults, everybody, why are we told about these people in Hebrews? Encourage us to be faithful. I like that answer. That's the one we hear a lot. They also help us realize what we need to be, right? Right? When you were a kid, a child, and Vince Young was playing football at UT, right? Did you want to be Vince Young? You played like you were Vince Young, quarterbacking, right? Okay. I played like Tarzan. All right? That was mine. And Superman. Both of those. And we tried to portray the characteristics of those individuals. Our parents encouraged us to watch films, read books about heroes overcoming odds, right? Well, the same thing's true here in the Bible. We're told about these people so that we can learn that we can overcome the odds. We can display these characteristics. In fact, I think it would be very hard to spread the word to those who are lost without having these characteristics. Yes, sir.
And when you look at these people, think about them in many ways. They were very normal people like you and I were.
Oh, yeah.
And if they can accomplish, if they can do the things that they did, what's keeping us from doing the great things that are called on us as Christians to do?
That's right. That's right. In case you couldn't hear him, these are normal people. These aren't superheroes. They don't have magic powers, okay? They're normal people that listen to God, all right? Did they have faults? You better believe it. Do you remember what Noah did after he got back on land? He built himself a vineyard, and he drank of the fruits, okay? And he waited for them to be a little bit on the fermented side, all right? Adults understand that. I'm trying to hide it from children. Was that a good thing? Is drunkenness something that we should be proud of? No, that's a flat-out sin. You can look that up in the New Testament. You can also look it up in the Old Testament. Drunkenness is a sin. All right? So, take a visual of that, because I think to continue, I may have to erase it later. But, all right, I think one of the questions on that sheet, children, is what kind of fear did Noah have in Hebrews 11:7? James, what you got? I'm sorry?
Godly fear.
Godly fear. Godly fear. If you want to write that down, godly fear. What is that? What is that? Yes, sir.
God, a desire to obey God's will, and perhaps a fear of the consequences of
failing. Yeah, respect. He wants, God deserves respect. When you respect somebody, when you reverence somebody, when you're in awe of somebody, right? That's the type of, that's what that means. Were they cowering in their boots? No. Were they, this was, okay, another Chad example here. When I was a child, I probably got a spanking every day. And the worst ones, though, were when it was wait for dad to get home. Okay? Wait for dad to get home. Did that mean that every time I saw dad, I cowered in my boots and I did not want to see him? No. No. Dad was a loving man. Is a loving man. He's a hard man, but he loved me to death, okay? But it didn't mean he's going to withhold punishment when I deserved it, all right? I respect Dad. My kids need to respect me. We need to respect God, okay? But I'm not scared of God when I'm in the right. It's when I stray that I'm fearful, like legitimate fearful. So I like that. Reverence, awe, respect. Those types, that those would be appropriate words that you could substitute in there, okay? and that was the next question, kiddos who are following along. What would be a more common term for godly fear, okay? All right, so Noah's story. Where do we find Noah's story? Through?
Nine.
Perfect. Yeah, if you stop in just six, you've lost a lot of information. So that's good. Genesis 6 through 9. Okay? So that's the next question for those that are doing the questions. Genesis 6 through Genesis chapter 9. What age is this part of the Bible? What age is this? Patriarchal age. What does that mean?
Before the establishment of the Mosaic Law.
Okay, what other characteristic?
God spoke to the fathers.
God spoke to the fathers or patriarchs, right? That's where we get the word patriarchal age. So they could communicate it to the family. Mm-hmm. All right? And Brian did a good job last week when he spoke about Enoch and whose great-grandfather he was, right? Don't you know that Enoch was in charge of his family below him? Now, I don't know this. Maybe someone that studied it more than me may know from secular history, but I don't think we're told that each and every dad got to talk to God or have God speak to him. But a patriarch, 99 times out of 100, when you say the patriarch of the family, that's the oldest person in that family, okay? That is the one in the leadership role. So When Enoch's parents died, Enoch was the patriarch. He was in charge of everyone below him, and they lived a long time, so I bet you there was a lot of people below them. Okay? Same with Noah, same with forever and ever until you get the Mosaical period. Okay? So what else do we know? I'm trying to set the scene here. Okay? We're setting the scene so that we can decide if Noah meets these qualifications. Yes, ma'am?
Even with faults that they had, they were all considered righteous to God.
That's right.
They had to be righteous to fill these places that they
had. Oh, yes. Yep. They're not infallible, right? They're people.
But they're righteous just like
but they are.
Righteous.
Yeah. So when you say they were all righteous people, that mean like cowabunga dude righteous? No. That means someone that is seeking after the will of God, to be right with God, okay? That from the beginning of time, there was only one man that was absolutely polished perfect, okay? He died for us. That's the only way that his sacrifice would mean anything, is if he was spotless, okay? Everyone else, though we try hard, we will stumble. Yes, sir.
According to Jude 14, Enoch, according to the seventh from Adam, was a prophet. And so God talked to Enoch, and Enoch was responsible for talking to the fathers. The fathers would talk to the families.
Perfect.
Like what we see today.
Yes, perfect. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, so not every dad got to have that role of patriarch, is what I wanted to point out. Just because you had a child does not mean that God was going to talk to you. Yes.
This might be relevant, but typically in most farming villages, such as during the time of the Old Testament and perhaps even Judea in the time of Christ, a patriarch also referred to a family, to a village chief, because villages were often made up of extended relations either through blood or marriage.
That's right.
So it could also mean a community leader.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. How did they worship in the patriarchal period? Did you say something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
Sacrifices. How do we know that?
Job.
Who else?
Abraham.
Who else? He's in the couple chapters right before. I'm sorry?
Cain and Abel.
That's right. Okay, Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Also, Noah offered a sacrifice after he got off the ark. Okay. Very good. Very good. Kids, if you didn't circle it, it's B for patriarchal age. Under what age did Noah live? Okay, now this is a fun one, all right? I didn't do the calculation myself, but I found multiple sources that supported the exact same thing. How many years was it from creation to the flood? Approximately. Anyone? Doing the math over there, Nate? It is 1,656 years, according to the genealogies that we have record of. So maybe you should put an asterisk there, according to the genealogies that we have records of. Okay? And we have records of all of them, because we know how old Adam was. So I think that's pretty accurate. Unless someone was skipped. But I don't know why they would be. All right? So, 1,656 years between creation and the flood. So, we have people living 700, 800, 900 years here. There's a very good chance that everyone knew their lineage really well because they saw their lineage really well, okay? It's not like me trying to reach back to my great-great-grandfather. Never met that man. Never seen him in my life. But I bet some of these families did. Maybe even great-great-greats. How crazy is that, huh? All right. So, this is another fun one that I did some research on. And You can make, this is a very much an assumption, okay, folks? But I'm trying to set the scene here. The world, they were told to go out and do what? Preach the word, but that's not what I'm looking for. Be fruitful and multiply, all right? They are told to go populate this new creation that God just made, all right? That's what their purpose is, okay? Verbatim from God. So, if you assume the regular growth rate that we see in the year 2000, like just 20 years ago, if you assume that growth rate, there would be 750 million people on the earth in the time of the flood. Okay? I know, it's hard. I couldn't do the math, but I found two sources that did, and they were within a little bit of each other, okay? If you move that, okay, that's a 0.012 growth rate, by the way, okay? If you add, 0.001 to that growth rate, okay? So this is the growth rate of 2000, all right? The year 2000 is 0.012. If you bump that to 0.013, okay, if you bump it there, then you're at about 4 billion people. Okay? Let's assume they're half right. Assume they're half right. So this growth rate was 750, right? And these are proportions, so it's a lot harder to do the math. You don't just multiply times 2 or whatever, okay? These are proportions. This gets you to 4 billion. That's a big number, all right? If they're half right, if the people that have done the calculations are half right, then let's say there's 365 million, all right, people. Did you know that that's larger than the United States of America right now? Okay? That's a lot of years of procreation, okay? And if we go to Genesis chapter 6 and we read let's just read 1 through 5, anybody, okay? Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 5. Actually, let's go with, go ahead and read through verse 8.
Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, was on only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
All right. So, how many people is Noah? How many people does he make up? One person, okay? In a population most likely the size of the United States of America, one person is doing right, okay? You think it's bad now? This is nothing, okay? Smile a little bit, be encouraged. We're not Noah. Noah had it bad. God said, that every intent of the thoughts of the heart of men were on evil continually. Okay? Evil continually. I think that's discouraging to Noah. You think that would make him fearful? We have news articles, news anchors saying that people are scared to even leave their homes right now in certain neighborhoods because of the evil, the violence, okay? Which is, if we keep going, verse 13. Brother Royce, will you read verse 13?
And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come for me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth."
Okay. What were they filled with? Violence. It's not just evil, it's violent evil. Okay? They're aiming to hurt other people. So, 364,999,999 people against Noah. All right? Now, I know I'm making an assumption on the population of the earth at that time, but it can be argued. I'm not producing anything that can't be argued that it's correct. Okay? We know that the population right now in the year 2000 grew by that rate, 0.012. So we know we're capable of doing it. And that's not even what we were told to go do, right? In fact, we're doing everything in our power not to, some of us. Right? So, I think an assumption of half right is actually really, really conservative. Man, there's a lot more than that. Okay, so there's our scene, all right? There's our scene. What kind of people? Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and read 16 through 19. Let's get a really good idea of what evil is, okay? Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. Kids, is Proverbs in the New Testament or the Old Testament? Old. Okay. Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. Nate Reddick, will you read that, please?
These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Okay, there's a good idea, right? Some of them aren't even committing the evil, they're just running towards it. God hates that. All right? Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Those who are a little more seasoned, what will we find there? I'm sorry?
Things not to do.
Things not to do? Yeah, but there's a term we like to use there. Galatians 5.
Works of the flesh.
Works of the flesh. Okay. If I could get there and not be... Shouldn't have drank that caffeine. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Yes, sir, Mr. Hedy. Go ahead. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and then read through 21.
Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you before, just as I've also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay. Those are some bad things. And guess what? Even things like that are bad. That's what it says. Okay? So don't dance around sin, folks. Okay? Don't dance around it. It's not fun. Okay, we have an idea now. These are terrible people. They're doing terrible things. They're seeking violence. They're probably committing all of them. Okay? So, back to Genesis. Okay, we got to know our scene. We got to know what Noah's going through. All right? Genesis, chapter what again? What? 6 through 9. Okay. What was the earth like, you think, during this time? Smoke everywhere? No? Pretty pure, right? It's pretty perfect, I bet. Besides the stickers and thorns that were put out there. Mosquitoes. Because we couldn't behave in the Garden of Eden. Was there rain? No. Hey, you think that's that thing that Hebrews is talking about, the Hebrew writer? When he's like, when told of things that had not been seen, is that how it was phrased? Back in Hebrews chapter 11? No. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. He was warned of things not yet seen and moved with godly fear. Ooh. You think that could be it? No, maybe.
Never seen.
Yeah, maybe. Or it could just be the flood in its entirety. But still, you ever seen, how weird would it be to see water fall from the sky when you've never seen it before? Okay? Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 is how we know that it had not rained at all. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, 5 and 6. Here it is. Before any plant of the field was on the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Okay? So, no rain. Turn over to Genesis chapter 9, 2 through 4. Genesis chapter 9, 2 through 4. Now I'm going to read this. We're running out of time. I got to make some points. Actually, you know, I'm told that we're not recording this. I can go as long as I want. There's no time limit. This is God talking to Noah. Genesis chapter 9, 2 through 4. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move the earth, and all the fish in the sea that are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Okay? But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Okay. From that statement there, we know that they did not eat meat. Okay? Because they hadn't been given permission yet. Why? Somebody tell me why. My inference is that animals needed time to breed too. Okay? They needed time to fill the earth. Okay? Why would God put enough of all the animals on the earth but only two humans? Right? Well, there are probably more than just two birds. I'm sure there were. But inference, based off of what God's told people to do and the timing, I feel safe saying that's probably so that they could populate the earth as well. There'd be enough food. Because, man, once you get started eating meat, man, it's tasty. You could eat a lot of it. You're going to run out of animals. All right, so the fear of the animals, okay, didn't exist. The fear from the animals of man. You have a lion right there. It wasn't scared of you. You have a deer right there, white tail. It wouldn't stick up its tail. It's not scared of you. Okay? So, things are different in this time. All right? So, now to the story of the ark. Did Noah just go out and build a boat of his liking? Yes, sir.
I believe in the book of Genesis, God gave specific instructions.
Oh, yeah.
That it was to be built a Gopher, but that it was to be 300 cubits long, 30 cubits high, and
it's Genesis chapter 6. Okay? Those dimensions are given there in Genesis chapter 6. And then, not only did Noah do what he was told to do in building the ark, did he get to go choose which animals he wanted? I wouldn't have chosen scorpions. Okay? I'm sure that they still stung you, even if they weren't scared of you. Right? But he was told exactly what to do. We see an abbreviation, a summary in chapter 6 where it says, take two of each animal, male and its female. Okay? But then we see more details in Genesis chapter 7 where he actually says, of the clean animals, you can take seven, both the male and the female. You know, of everything that's not of the bugs, of the birds. He gets a little more specific. Okay? And because the animals didn't fear Noah, he's able to get them in. Okay? So, then we see in, let's see here, I got to get back to my notes, I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? I didn't write that verse down. Someone that's well educated. Where was it? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Please help me. Where is that? 2 Peter chapter 2. Okay? That's perfect. No, that'll work. You can find which verse. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. There we go. Teamwork doesn't seem work. Okay? Noah, the whole time while building the ark, and his whole life probably before that, because we see that his children followed him, right, into the ark. It wasn't just Noah and his wife. It was his three children, three sons, and their wives follow him into the ark. Okay, someone believed him. But he's preaching the whole time. He's a preacher of righteousness. Okay? So, imagine that now. Now it's not that you're just trying to do right. Now you're trying to teach right to 364,999,999 people that hate you. Actually, if you take the six away, seven because of his wife, there's a little bit less there that hate you. Or hate good, anyways, maybe not you specifically. And then floods, the rains come and the springs are opened. You have water from both sides, right? And what is that water doing?
Sweeping?
Right. Was it sweeping away? What are these people doing?
Sin.
Evil. Okay? Baptism. Right? Think about it. Surrounded by water. All your sins are washing away. Okay? All the sin in the whole world was being destroyed with water. Right? That's in 2 Peter chapter 3, right? 1 Peter 3, verse 21. There it is. So, we need to think about these things, all right? Noah is not just a children's story in Genesis. Adam and Eve are not just stories of people in Genesis. We're told about these people on purpose, okay? We need to raise our kids to be like these people that we read about, okay? Don't try to get your kids to practice these traits, okay? To be brave, to be honest, to be someone that has faith in good. Because Noah was surrounded by evil, right? So was Noah helpful? Did he make other people build his ark? Nah, he probably helped, right? Was he obedient? Was he strong? I'd like to see you pick up a piece of wood, gopher wood big enough for an ark, you know?
No hand tools.
No hand tools. You know that man can work, right? He had faith in good. Why would he keep preaching if he didn't? Right? Be humble. He probably knew he was a good person. We know when we're good, right? And sometimes when we know we're good, we don't listen to God. We don't humble ourselves. He humbled himself. Was he bold?
Had to be.
What kind of a preacher is not bold, right? Did he have integrity? We can assume that. Selflessness? Why would you preach if you didn't care about others? Confident? Okay. Courageous? Brave? This one sticks out to me. Because right now, our world is terrible. People are scared. I'm not talking about the virus only. I'm talking about people are scared of being killed. It's a bad, bad place right now. But it was worse then. Way worse. Okay? He was intelligent. Okay? Have to be to build something like that. Have to be. Can he discern?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Honest, inspirational, kind, responsible, all those things. Noah had all those traits. So why aren't we trying to tell ourselves to have those traits and our children to have those traits? I was really disappointed when the Last of Leaders got canceled this year because of this coronavirus. Okay? Our kids are worked really hard. They had to deal with me in class weekly. All right? And they worked hard. They were ready to take a leadership role. That takes all those traits. There are people that I grew up with in the church. I don't know if they weren't taught those traits by their parents. I don't know, but I know where they are now. They're not in the church. So it's important that these children's stories, that's how we depict them in Bible class, right? Children's stories, you give them a little coloring sheet like I just did. Okay? We can't forget ourselves as adults why we're talking about Noah and the ark. Why are we doing it? To try to promote traits like this. It's not just Noah. It's a lot of these Hebrew heroes of faith. Okay? But like Ms. Williamson told us, they weren't infallible people. If you look into chapter 9, children, close your ears. Noah got drunk and he was naked. And his kids, the ones that he raised, one of them goes in there and he's laughing at it. He's mocking it. In fact, he goes tries to tell his brothers, come check this out. Look what dad's doing. You think that was to hold their dad up high? Reverence, right? We talked about that earlier. No, that was to make dad look like a fool. And he got what came his way, right? Noah said he's going to be the servant of his brothers. All right? One that we didn't put up there is patient. Can you imagine being in that ark 40 days, 40 nights with nothing but rain and gushing water and animal feces and noises and stench and just everything? Having to deal with your in-laws? Right? I love my in-laws. That has nothing to do with my in-laws. That was just a little funny joke. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Didn't he also preach and build the ark for 100 years?
Yeah. Well, 120 years is how long God said, this is it. In 120 years, I'm destroying this thing. They've got 120 years to live. But Noah he starts building the ark somewhere in the middle of that 120 years. Most assumptions are 60 to 50 years is how long it took Noah to build the ark. And that's by trying to track how old he was when he would have been maybe of a patriarchal age, you know, things like that. So, anyways, questions, comments. I used 5 minutes longer than I was supposed to. It's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this lesson. I tried to make it somewhat entertaining. And thank you for your comments. Really appreciate it. I hope that y'all got as much out of it as I did just studying it. So.